But you think the most sinister of the group happens to be Skull and Bones?
Skull and Bones, most definitely. I mean, you look at their logo, it's a logo of death. They're very much involved with wars on the beginning, at the end, making sure another war gets set up. They're making the money off of wars. And they're most definitely an occult society, and when their leaders are talked about it in public, they lie to citizens. And so one wonders where their allegiance is. And the one thing that people who go to Yale learn is in senior year, the best man doesn't always win. And one thing that Skull and Bones does and has seemed to do throughout their history is to always promote within themselves. In other words, you know, whether that person is qualified, he gets a job, and so they always try and promote each other.
No matter where they go or what position they might want to apply for, albeit being a cabinet member or some major corporation, as soon as they're told this guy's a Skull and Bones member, he gets the upper hand, doesn't he?
Yes, yes.
How do you think something like that would go? Let's use our president, for example, a Skull and Bones member. Do you think a former Skull and Bones person will contact him and say, well, Mr. President, so-and-so was a member of the Skull and Bones? Does it work like that?
Well, according to tradition, you get a phone call that says, well, the general would like you to do a favor. Or some such thing as that. And they're talking about General Huntington Russell, who was the founder of Skull and Bones. And that supposedly is how it happens as far as if you were to be asked a favor. I mean, it's very similar in most any secret society that's pyramidal based, such as Masons and whatnot.
Do you have to abide by this?
There seem to be, you know, members that after college have nothing to do with them anymore. And a secret society, whether you're dealing with a secret society in, you know, in Asia and Africa or anywhere, they all tend to operate the same way as far as from a sociological standpoint, in that you have like an onion skin or a pyramid, you have a large base of people there. Masonic, they call them porch brethren. Then you have a administrative cadre, and then you have an inner core. And the inner core seems to always work together. Like we had a gentleman, one of the articles in the book is a gentleman was doing research on illegal financing and trying to find out, well, did Skull and Bones, help finance communism? Did they help finance Nazis? And one thing he found out is that every time that a member of Skull and Bones had the opportunity to help finance the Nazis, they did.
And this was prior to them knowing that they were going to do war, or was this during?
They were involved with them all the way up through 1941. I mean, the Union Banking Corporation got taken away from them with the Trading with the Enemy Act in October of 42. It continued to operate through the war, and Prescott Bush, according to many reports, some out of Dutch intelligence, made $1.5 million out of his share in Union Banking Corporation when it was sold